Hello, welcome to this broadcast of Ozcast, the Australian Rooster Teeth community podcast for all your needs of things down under and above. I'm Nightwolf12, and I'm joined by everyone's favorite pale man from the capital, Leprechaun, and that other chick, what's her name? Cool Katie. We will be joined today by special guest Glenn Radburn, aka Rattles, who will be talking to us about his webcomic 2300 and the web show Stuntmen later on. For now, he will be a muted peon in our audience of one. How are you guys?
We are awesome! And I speak for Sean, because Sean doesn't have a voice. Sean, don't talk.
Oh, okay.
That's talking!
And,
Oh, well. I'm obviously not very good at following directions.
Sorry.
And just before we go ahead here, I should also mention that Ozcast is an Rooteeth affiliate. And, Cool Katie, would you like to talk about that group before we go ahead?
Sure. Rooteeth is the Rooster Teeth Australia group. Its prime event is RTOZ, so that's Rooster Teeth Australia, and our first event will be in October this year on the nights of the 21st and 22nd of October, which is in conjunction with the Armageddon Expo, which is going to be held in Melbourne Exhibition Centre on the 22nd and 23rd of October. But that's not all Rooteeth does. Throughout the year, every 3 months, so quarterly, if you're a nerd, we host arts gatherings, so Australian Rooster Teeth Street Team, and they are gatherings for bands around Australia that want to hang out more than, you know, once a year. So at the moment we've got a consistent one happening in Sydney, and we've just had our first one, which you actually attended, Nightwolf, in Melbourne. So, and that's Indie Fairy,
yeah.
Ainsley, who looks after the Melbourne side of things, and obviously myself and Arvin to the Sydney side of things. So we've got one in Sydney coming up actually next weekend, which will be the 3rd of September. So yeah, it's all happening.
Yeah.
Woo.
I think we have Sean and Rattles coming to the Sydney one. And as far as I'm aware, there won't be a Melbourne one before the event in Melbourne, so RTOZ in Melbourne, but there might be, you never know.
Yep, well, I know we're trying to schedule an event down here for the Melbourne Street Team before RTOZ happens. We just check out a couple of places and whatnot. So, yeah, it's up in the air at the moment, so we just need to figure out what we're going to be doing. There's been some discussion on it in the last few days, but hopefully we'll be going ahead with that. And,
I just think it's a really great idea. That people have these, because the first one in Sydney was sort of you with me, actually, no, so you know how nerve-wracking it was, and I just didn't think that anyone would come, and it was so, you know, but yeah, a lot of people came, and from that a lot of friendships were made. So I think it's really an important thing to do, having, you know, these friends getting together so consistently throughout the year, because most of my friends are from Rooster Teeth now, so my story.
My better friends are from Rooster. That's true.
Let's hope that your not better friends don't listen to this.
I'm sure they can listen to it. In your face, better friend. In your face. Come at me, Brolio.
That reminds me, in the last couple of days, I've been seeing a lot of fancy translations of "Come at me, bro." So like approach me with an aggressive manner, comrade, and I decided to sort of come up with my own one, which was approach my being with sinister, intense male sibling.
Oh my god.
Oh man.
I'm going to say that to my little brother.
I've actually used it on Strutter a couple of times.
No. How did you hurt him?
Hey, he was trying to hurt me, that's why I said it.
It was like, enchanting tail male sibling needs more flying reptiles and feces. Instead, cool story, bro, but needs more dragons and shit.
Interesting.
Nice.
Needs more flying reptiles and feces.
Oh, man.
I thought it was awesome.
Jeez. What's new with you guys?
Not a lot.
Well,
oh, Sean has news. Do tell.
No, I was just going to say well. And then hopefully someone else is going to interrupt me, but okay. I had to wake up early this morning.
I'll interrupt Sean here.
Oh, very good.
No, not a lot. Mainly individually, mainly Arvin and I have been working, and Kim pretty heavily have been working on getting the event up and running. So I have a lot to do this weekend. But
And
enough
that's
about me,
Kim,
more about
otherwise
me.
known as Red Design.
Right, Red Design, who does our what's that thing that you do on the computer?
Photoshop.
Yes. Design, yes, he's our design. Don't judge me.
It's in his
He.
name.
Oh.
Red Design. He does that thing with stuff.
I hope
He
he doesn't
reds.
listen
He
to this.
reddings. That's what he does. He reds things.
Oh, I'm gonna make sure he listens to this now.
Oh gosh. Yeah, Kim is our super awesome magic design guru, who designed everything for all our social networking, our website, which Marcelo, who is self-made Zello, all Martian,
Yeah, Martian.
built our website, but Kim designed it, and yeah, our logo, everything. I am happy to announce that we're having tickets, which is very cool. We weren't originally going to have tickets for the event. It was just going to be a list that you crossed your name off at the door. Well, we cross it off because you have to obviously come past us. Can't get in. Yeah, so we're actually having tickets, which will be very cool, like a lanyard.
Cool.
Just waiting for the airplane to pass. Yeah, there'll be a ticket for staff, there'll be a ticket for volunteers, and there'll be a ticket for attendees. So, very cool.
Very nice.
That is pretty
Yeah.
cool.
Definitely a step from the scratch your name off this list.
I think so. What about
This
you, Sean and
imaginary
Sean?
list.
Oh yes, that reminds
Sean
me.
and
For the
Kim.
sake of yes, for the sake of clarity, I'll be referred to as Fox, and Leprechaun can just be Sean.
Oh, that's just too many names. I was happy using one.
And no, it's good that we're
I'm
trying to
sure you'll
stick to
survive.
the original plan that we came up with when we first met.
In February,
Yeah,
10 years
Sean and
ago.
other
Wasn't it me that came
Oh
up
yeah,
with
I
it?
like how other
I
Sean
take
looked.
credit.
That was funny.
Yeah, it wasn't specified as to who would be other Sean, but people just took to me as being other Sean.
Oh.
I'm not sure if that's a good sign.
Well, I did come in first, so
No, you didn't.
I'm pretty sure.
Well, to the expo maybe, but I'm older than you.
Oh
Oh.
yeah, I didn't mean age.
Okay. Oh well. So, Sean, what is new with you?
Well, was the funnest thing that's happened has been a couple of guys came down last weekend to my house just randomly. The guys
Those guys
named
must have been so cool. Just to just randomly decide to
No, I don't
do
know. I think
that.
you're talking about someone else because it was Katie and
And then to
Justin and then
randomly
Kim that came
forget
up.
it. Oh, wow.
What did I forget? Sorry.
You
Well,
forgot to
that
mention
was.
that you and Justin and Tim all went down to Leprechaun's house.
Oh, that happened. That was cool. No. Yeah, we did. It was a very spur of the moment thing. We decided that we would go and visit. Was that Sean and Tim because we hadn't seen them in a long time and we all hung out and it was good, it was nice, you know. Sean and Tim live roughly, is it 3 hours? 2.5? Two and a
It's
bit.
like 2.5 to 3 hours, depending on how fast you drive.
I thought you were gonna say traffic, but how fast your drive works too.
Yeah, no, there's no traffic. You just overtake everyone.
Well, we can only go because we're on a provisional license, so in New South Wales, which is a state that I live in, we have. I can't speak for other states. I know it's different, but I'll just speak on the behalf of New South Wales. So we have a provisional license, two provisional licenses: your learner's license and your full license. So you start on your learner's license, which we call our L's, and then when you pass your driving test, you get your first provisional license, which is your red P's. I'm only on my red P's, and I have a speeding limit that means I can only go 90 k's an hour, and most of the roads on the way to Canberra are 100 to 110. So obviously, it would take longer for me to get there because I can't do the proper speed limit. Justin is on his green P's, which is you get your green P's after being on your reds for a year. Your green P's you have for 2 years, but you can do 100 when you're on your green P's. So Justin could only go 100, even though he probably went 120 most of the way. It wasn't that bad. But
that's something to keep on the podcast right there. Justin was speeding. Come on, Cubs. Come on. Come at him.
Oh yeah, it's in there. It's been said. It's on air.
Please don't hate me. No. But yeah, so it basically, you and Tim live like 3 hours away from me. So we don't get to see you that often, only when we have the big gatherings or where we're doing something that requires, you know, you to be here. Like when we did Stuntmen, which I'm sure we'll talk more about later on.
Indeed we will. And, you know, in the meantime, I'm just kind of twiddling my thumbs down here in Melbourne, just like, well, you know, October's coming.
Sean is, Fox is actually 10 hours away from me by car, so yes. I see him a lot less.
Yeah, just a tad. Yeah, with the probationary license we've got down here in
Victoria. Oh, you call it probationary,
Victoria.
Not provisional?
Wait, is it called probationary?
For you guys, it's provisionary, provisional, and over here it's probationary. Yeah, and
I was going to quickly
sounds
ask
like
you.
A made-up word.
Ainsley told me when you get, Ainsley's Indie Fairy, obviously. She told me that when you get your probationary license, which you just got, actually, Fox, you can only have one passenger in the car at all times.
Yeah, well, I was about to start explaining all of that.
Sorry.
It's
I wanted
okay.
to know now.
Nice.
Lousy co-host. I kid. Yeah, well, yeah, we can only, for the first license we have, which is the red probationary license, we can only have one passenger, and that passenger has to be between the ages of 16 and 21 unless they are a family member.
Whoa,
that's a weird rule.
They're encouraging you to have someone younger in the car with you? That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense at all.
Because in New South Wales, the way that it works is, with my red P's, I can only have one passenger in the car between the hours of 11 p.m. and 5 a.m. But all the other times, I can have a full car full of people. Doesn't matter how old they are, except between 11 and 5, I can have two passengers if one of them is a family member over 25. So it doesn't.
Right.
We're not encouraged to have younger people in the car between those hours because that's the reason that they implemented the rules because, you know, teenagers are speeding and being silly with a full car and everyone was dying.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure we don't have a rule like that in the ACT.
I don't know.
But we have learners and then provisional, and then provisional is like you have the exact same rules as full license, except you can't have like any alcohol content, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
And you, like, obviously, if you're caught speeding, you get, like, this more drastic penalty against you. And you have less points on your license. So, like,
yeah.
Really, like, if you do anything wrong, you're, like, fucked with your P's. So.
Yeah. Well, with Victorian probationary licenses and whatnot, the further restrictions are that. You can't have any blood alcohol content, and you cannot have a car that is more powerful than a V6.
That's the same here. We're not allowed to have V8s or turbos.
Mm. And then I think the only thing that changes once you get onto your green probationary license is actually just you can have more people in the car, regardless of age, and actually I think that's about it. I could be wrong.
Leper Sean lives in the Australian Capital Territory. For our American listeners, he lives in the capital of Australia, which is Canberra, not Sydney.
Which no one knows.
Yeah,
I
which
like
no
to point
one
out.
Knows. So
yeah, Sydney is not the capital of Australia. Oh my god.
Sydney's the capital of New South Wales, which is a state that I live in, but Sean lives in the Australian Capital Territory, which is its own state. Or territory, rather. And he lives in the capital of Australia.
When terrorists come and bomb Australia, they'll be like, oh, Sydney's the capital, I'm going to bomb Sydney.
Well, you know, that actually might cause an improvement in the landscape of Sydney itself.
How dare you. I respect that.
You know it's true.
You stay in Melbourne.
Struck a chord.
No. Yeah, and so he basically has the freedom to do anything he wants. There are, like, no laws in Canberra, which, funnily enough, is where all the politicians go to meet up to talk about laws they're going to implement in the rest of Australia. But they're like, no, we won't worry about Canberra. Canberra can do whatever the hell they want.
Nobody lives in Canberra.
So, like, The rest of Australia are exempt from having fireworks and marijuana, but Canberra, oh no, don't worry about Canberra. Canberra can have pot and,
Well,
flames and burning.
now we can't have fireworks. Last year was the last year where we could have
Oh,
fireworks. They're
really?
illegal now.
I didn't know
Yeah,
that.
they're.
And when I first
Yep.
met Sean and I found out that he was from the ACT, the first thing I asked him was whether or not he could set me up with some high quality hydroponics.
And all I said was, I'll just make a
Nice.
call. So.
Yeah, that's literally what you said,
Wow.
yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it's time to move along to our next section in video games and movie news and whatnot. Have you guys been out to the cinemas or renting any video games or buying video games for that matter lately?
I think we should talk about
I
Harry
have not
Potter
done that for a very long
because.
time, and I feel really bad about it.
Why do you feel bad
Harry,
about
what?
it? I don't care what
Sean, you're
Sean has to
dead to me.
say. We have to talk
Yes.
about Harry
Harry
Potter.
Potter. Oh.
No, I'm kidding. But really.
That'll take up the next 15 minutes.
Yeah.
We'll be on to the next subject before the end of this. No, have you guys seen Harry Potter?
I
I
have
haven't
not
yet.
seen.
No, I was
Wow.
going to see it with Lynn, aka Angel Bunny, but when we were looking up the times, there were like three showings a day, and I was just like, well, it's either too early or it's too late. So we ended up going to see Captain America.
What did you think of
Nice.
that?
It was quite fun. It was a good superhero film. It was it was an improvement from Thor, which was still good, but it pretty much did exactly what I expected, because Thor wasn't really the most, extravagant of the Marvel superhero films. So then
Yeah, and I didn't really like
allowed
how
you
it
to
ended, and I certainly didn't like Loki throughout that whole movie.
Well, he's a villain. You're not supposed to like him.
No,
But
but like
yeah.
he wasn't how Loki was supposed to be. He was just like this little weak, scrawny, emo, little whiny gay bitch. That's pretty much what he was. But Loki's the god of mischief. He's meant to be cheeky and mischievous the whole time.
Well,
So I was disappointed.
yeah. Well, I've never actually read any of the Marvel superhero comics, with the exception of The Amazing Spider-Man. I've got two of the original comic books from that, which I actually got in Sydney in like 1997. No, not 1997. It was
Oh.
2003. Yes.
So you were in yes.
Yes, I was. I'd gone up to Sydney to go attend my cousin Eileen's funeral. Not funeral, wedding. Fuck.
Yeah, I get this confused all the time.
My cousin's Eileen's wedding, and right next to the hotel was a comic book shop. So I went in and I saw there were Spider-Man comics, and I was just, completely enamored with the film at the time, so I immediately bought a couple. And I still have them sitting in a plastic pocket somewhere in here. But yeah,
Nice.
that was a tangent. What was I talking
I don't
about?
know, but that's just reminded me of how
Oh, Captain America.
Katie likes to call comics picture books.
No, stop right there. I
Oh,
call
yeah? Okay. What?
your Star Wars picture books, and you call them something else that makes no sense to me. And
I call them
I.
graphic novels because
No,
they are a collection of
I hear
comics.
words, I hear words, I hear words, and all I hear is picture book. And I know I'm probably gonna get assassinated for saying that now, but
Yeah,
it
because
was
most
worth it.
people associate picture books with like Where the Wilds Are or Go the
Yeah,
Fuck to Sleep.
that's right. Oh my God, that
Yeah,
is circulated
they're
like you
picture
would
books.
not believe.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I fine, graphic novel, whatever. Comics? That's different. They're comics. They have a name. It's a comic.
Because
They.
a comic is an individual issue, whereas a graphic novel is the whole set of comics in one book. That's why it's called a graphic novel.
Yeah,
Whatever.
because it shows the complete story arc.
Yeah.
Right.
And I have every Ultimate Spider-Man comic, oh, not comic, but graphic novel. There is like 40 of them. It goes up past 100 and something issues. I'm not sure if I'm not sure how many books there are, because each book has like five issues in it. So yeah, I have a box full of comics in my cupboard, which I'm pretty sure not many people knew.
Well, I'm gonna say Pixar, it didn't happen.
All right,
I am also gonna
I'll
say
do
that.
that. That can go in the link dump.
That's Okay, yes, it will. And back to what we were originally talking about with Loki's depiction in Thor.
And Thor, yeah.
Yeah, I can see what you mean by all of that, but as I said, I'd never read any of the comics, but I don't know. I don't think like was what was Loki's original depiction like? How did he look in the comic books?
Well, they got the look pretty damn good. He was sort of bigger, I think, in the comics, but not it like his physical size wasn't noticed too much because he had the godly buzz anyway. But I don't know, he was just he seemed so much more cheeky and happy, sort of like the Joker or the Riddler or something like where they just kept saying ridiculous things and like the worst ones and one-liners and stuff like that, just to be annoying. That's pretty much how he was, and he just wasn't like that in the movie at all. It just disappointed me was all. The fact that he wasn't like so cheeky and mischievous, he was just a weird little guy. It was kind of disappointing.
Fair enough. Yeah, being somebody who didn't see the comic book, I was happy with his sort of like how they portrayed him as it made him seem like he obviously stood out amongst the rest of the those sort of Viking gods and whatnot. But yeah, with Captain America and whatnot, with how Thor transitioned into Captain America and sort of the succession of films, I think it allowed the audience to be wowed more by what they saw at Captain America or in Captain America.
Yeah, I still haven't
So,
seen
yeah.
Captain America, but I just know that it is good. Like sort of Thor was exactly how I expected. Like I didn't expect crazy awesome movie. I actually expected a terrible movie, and because it was okay, I was glad with it. And it's literally just Loki that I'm annoyed with. The rest of the movie is totally fine.
Fair enough.
But I still have to see X-Men First Class and Captain America and Harry Potter and Cowboys and Aliens. I have to see everything still.
I've actually seen Cowboys and Aliens along with X-Men First Class, and I summed up my feelings on Cowboys and Aliens on my Facebook status the other night just by saying that it's pretty much a B movie with an A-list cast and a budget, and go see it.
Yeah, everyone who's seen it has said good things, so it must be good.
Because the movie takes itself seriously. It doesn't have much of a sense of humor, but it does have a couple of parts that give you a chuckle. However, like that's really what kind of makes it sort of an A-list B movie because it takes itself seriously.
Yeah.
And then with X-Men First Class, that was also I just loved that. That was very, charming. It was well done. It was funny. It was really cool.
Yeah.
I can't really think of anything negative about it at the moment. I just all around liked it.
Apparently, First Class was like trying really heavily to get a lot of characters in or something. Like a lot of not so well-known Marvel characters were trying. They were trying to put as many into it, I think. Like I haven't seen it. This is just what I've heard.
Yeah, there were a few
So I think like,
X-Men characters who hadn't been
yeah.
introduced in the previous movies that made it into it, and they either
Yeah.
die or they just, kind of, they just go through at the entire movie, and you're kind of left wondering, well, how did they fit into the rest of the universe?
Were they, is it totally canonical with the first X-Men movies?
It
Like,
matches up to them. It has a couple of issues in regards to its canon. I only discovered this yesterday when I saw. Like somebody had put together a series of images pointing out flaws in the X-Men movie storyline and the canon and whatnot, but for the most part, I believe it matches up with the previous films.
okay. Well, I know it's not totally canonical with the comics because they have to change things all the time. So, like, each Marvel movie is, in fact, its own verse. Like, you know how Marvel and DC have different universes, Ultimate Universe, and
Yeah,
like
and
Earth A universe, and
Zombieverse.
all this stuff, all that whole zombie universe. Like, there's like 50 universes in Marvel,
Yeah.
at least. The movies themselves are their own
Yeah.
universe because of the changes that they have to make for film making. So,
Yeah. Fair enough. Katie, what did you think of Harry Potter 7, Part 2?
part two.
What did I think of Harry Potter Part 2? I liked it, but but I know that a lot of people didn't, which is a little bit upsetting. But I mean, it's a movie. It's a movie depiction of the book.
Really? Yeah, I didn't know that it had received a negative reception at all. It seemed pretty positive from what I saw. Or is it just the people you've talked to?
My brother.
Yeah. I don't remember what Mikey said. What did he say? We talked a lot about Harry Potter.
Yeah. He talks a lot. I just don't really. I don't really hear a lot of the stuff that he comes and says.
Well, I know Justin, Justice 935, I don't know. Anyway, Justice said, or Susan, or Brittany, or whatever else you want to call him.
Any girl's name you can think of.
Except Katie. He said he hated it as well, or that he really didn't like it. I don't know. I think hate's a strong word. But I liked it. It was a bit too funny for me, because the second half of the book is where all the action happens. It's true. The first part, as Kim Red Design actually put it to me, was a lot of teenage angst, and a lot of sort of, not soul searching, but a lot of the tough times Harry was going through. You really went through that with him over the first part, and then the second part everything picked up and everything started to snowball, and one thing happened after another and the action really picked up. And I think it was very serious in the book. Like, J.K. Rowling is an incredible writer, and she is very funny, I think, a lot of the time. And so even though there was a bit of humour in the book, especially in some of the tensest of times, the movie was just too funny. I didn't appreciate it being that funny. And a lot of the people, the characters who died, the characters that you've gone through the entire series with, just did not get the death that they should have, because obviously I'm not going to spoil it because it is still in theatres, and I do understand, as you two said, you haven't seen it yet. I won't spoil it for you, but it's just, I think that they focused on the wrong things in that movie. I mean, like I said, I enjoyed it as a film, you know, about Harry Potter. I enjoyed it. I've enjoyed all of them except the fourth one and the sixth one. I hated. But I liked it as a movie. I liked it.
And I know that you said previously that, like, one of your main problems with the last film was that you just kind of doubt as to whether or not you would watch it again.
The first part or this part? Because I haven't seen it again. And every other Harry Potter movie I've seen at least 3 or 4 times.
Yeah, the second part.
Yeah, no, I haven't seen it again. So you're right. I think I watched it. But I think that has more to do with the fact that it's closure. Like, why would I need to see it again when it's the last one? Whereas the other ones, it was like, no, I'm going to watch it again and again and again, and then I'm going to wait for the next one to come out. There is no next one coming out. So it's like, even though I think I will watch it again in the movies, and I'll definitely get it on DVD, I think that it was just the fact that it was the last one that I didn't want to, you know, see it again. I was like, no, this is horrible. It's not supposed to be happening. Why are you ending?
So, like, now you've got nothing to sort of anticipate. And you've got nothing to, like, this is just something that made you cry.
A lot of things make me cry. But yes, I bawled the entire movie. Ask Arvin. And Rattles was there too, but he wasn't sitting next to me. It was just Arvin. And I was crying. And he's like, yeah, I noticed that.
So, video games, what have you guys been playing lately?
Well, I was playing some Splinter Cell Conviction, went back to the co-op on Realistic, and beat it, and it was easier than I remember it, because I'm pretty sure I had beaten it already, but it didn't save for some reason, or something, my save file got corrupted, or some bullshit, because the world hates me, and so I had to redo it all again. So I just got Kiyoshi. Kiyoshi really wanted to play something, and he was going through all the games, and I'm like, I don't really want to play that. And I'm like, yeah, sure, why not?
And fair enough. Took us 2 nights. I remember I tried to play it with, I tried to play the co-op campaign with Visceral a couple of weeks back, and he was drunk at the time, and it was kind of amusing, but the connection kept dropping out every 5 minutes, so we would, like, be making our way through the level, taking out all these different bad guys and whatnot, just sort of like, yeah, teamwork, and then connection dropped, and you have to reset.
Yeah, and you have to restart from, like, in each level, there's 3 to 5 checkpoints, so you can't just start at where you just died, can you? Or did you have to start at each checkpoint?
Well, we never really got to any of the checkpoints, so it would just cut out, and then we'd have to start it again. So we'd have to go back to the beginning of the level, and we'd have to put up with the mission
That
briefing,
sucks.
which you can't skip, and it was just really annoying.
Yeah, oh god, that was so annoying. Yeah. Because I've seen it like 4 times, because I had to get every other co-op achievement. I had to go through the co-op twice to get the achievement at the end, which this is spoilers, but I'm pretty sure Conviction's like a 2-year-old game.
No, 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 no,
At
no, no,
the
no, 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 okay. I'm joking. Keep
at
going.
the end of the co-op campaign, you get on the airplane to escape, and then both sort of just resting or whatever at opposite sides of the plane, and each person gets a page to kill the other one. So that's like the last twist sort of ending to the co-op campaign. And then it's literally whoever kills who is who's alive for a few short seconds, because then he gets killed by someone else anyway. Then that's the end of the co-op campaign.
Jesus, there's no payoff in that.
No.
Oh,
But that's an
man.
achievement to kill the other person, to kill your co-op partner is the achievement. So you have to play through it twice so that you can get it, and then so that your partner can get it.
Wow. So, wait, can you just do the last level and
I
then
think
get to
you
that
can
end?
just do the last level, but you have to do the whole last, I think maybe even just the last checkpoint just to get on the plane. But that is a bitch, that last checkpoint. Because you're in this giant hangar, and there's a car or jeep thing with a turret on it, and you've got to like try and get past it and then deactivate it. And then there's like 100 guys that come out of this giant hangar door thing, try and chase you onto this plane, and you got to like. I don't know, I think me and Kiyoshi got lucky with that part, because we did it on like a second go, but I remember it being an absolute bitch when I did it the first time.
Fair enough. And so, are you guys happy with the legislation that's currently underway on Australia getting an R18 rating?
Hell yeah, but what's the deal with South Australia? Like, they're not getting it or something?
What? I have no idea.
Okay.
I don't believe anything's really confirmed on that. All the MPs who have voted on it have either said that they're for it or that basically they've sort of abstained from voting, or I'm not sure what that sort of middle ground option is with their legislative system, but they've basically said, yeah, we're okay with it, but we're not going to say yes or no. So I
Yeah.
think South Australia might have some ideas in mind. I know one idea that was actually thrown around was to have the R18 rating introduced and then move games that are currently classified as MA15 to the R18 rating. So maybe that's what they're planning. I'm not entirely sure. Just kind of
Yeah.
speculating.
See.
I know that there are like two MPs at the moment who are the main opposition to it. One of them is the Victorian Attorney General, Robert Clark, who is like, the most dangerous man in the state, and even his own Wikipedia page calls him a fascist.
Wow. I did not know that.
Yeah. So, it's pretty bad.
I like how we went to that from our rating in Australia.
Well, it was pretty relevant.
Yeah. I was just thinking about how, like, if I wanted to go back to talking about, say, Gears of War 3 right now, quite a, like, jump.
Well, do you want to talk about Gears of War 3? Is that what you
I
just really
do!
want
How
to talk
could you
about?
tell?
Okay. Then
Whoa, whoa,
when
whoa,
is that
whoa.
being
Wait, wait,
released?
wait. Wait, before you talk about Gears of War, I want to talk about Harry Potter.
Okay.
No,
Well,
I'm kidding. I'm joking.
again.
It's November, isn't
I
it?
was just gonna say really quickly that Gears of War 3 is, I think, September
September
24th.
something.
I'm sure it's
Oh, really?
November.
Okay. Yeah,
I know
that's what I
that
thought.
Halo Anniversary is November. Batman Arkham City is late October. But yes, I was gonna say I am crazy for Gears of War multiplayer. Like, I think it's awesome. I think easily the second best multiplayer of all time. It's so cool. I love it. I love chainsawing people in half. I can't help it. It's just
Oh my
amazing.
God.
Or rolling and shotgunning them into just nothingness. I love it.
Oh, I mean, I hate it when
So
that happens.
today, Gears of War 3's multiplayer maps have been detailed and released.
Oh, nice. I'll be sure
So
to put that in the
like,
link, Tom.
there's trailers. Yeah, for sure. I've got it right here. There's like a giant article thing about it. With three or four, no wait, a lot. One, two, three, four, five, six maps.
Man, the
I've just, there's a
chainsaw
ton of traps.
battles, the chainsaw battles in those games are just so ridiculous, because it's basically like from your end when you're engaged in, combat with some other guy, it's basically entirely just luck, and you're sitting there on the other end of the screen going, "Oh fuck, 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 fuck."
Just for people that don't know, chainsaw battles is where you have to hammer B as many times as you can in the little animation of the chainsaw duel.
Yeah, it's a
And
brief, quick time event.
yeah,
Oh God.
I win those. I play multiplayer and I win those.
Something I would never
Yeah.
play.
I would play if you play against bots.
Totally would, Katie. Don't
I
lie.
pr I guaranteed win those. Yeah, against bots. They're shit. And
I would
Katie
like
will
to take up the
definitely play
challenge
this game.
against you in
Oh my
Chainsaw
God.
Battles, Sean.
I will never play that. Just
Ah, okay
quickly,
then, sure.
Tuesday, 20th of September is Gears of War release, so I was wrong.
Ah, okay.
Oh, I was right. Oh.
No. I didn't say that. I said I was wrong.
Well, technically, I said 24th, so I was wrong as well. I was closer.
Well, have you been paying attention to, say, like, the release of Deus Ex Human Revolution at all?
I was just gonna say everyone at my work bought Deus Ex from DB or EB. I can't remember exactly where they bought it. My boss, and they did this because my boss said that we're not getting them in the store. The next day after they've bought them, they get sent to our store, and then my boss is like, "Oh yeah, that's right. I ordered in some the store."
Oh
After
God.
they just went and bought it for they could have gotten it $30, $40 cheaper if they kept like if they went through
Oh.
our store. And yeah, so they paid full price from EB or JB, whichever one. And I just laughed
Man.
at them. I thought that was hilarious.
Wow.
And for
Fair
people that
enough.
don't know, I work in a secondhand games and DVDs and graphic novels store.
But you do have no, God damn it! But you do have new things that you sell there, as well.
Yes, we do have new stuff. We started out with just having brand new graphic novels. We'd order them in off PlayAsia or something, like whatever. I can't remember what it's called. MyComicShop.com, that's it. And we just wanted brand new ones. We wanted to see how it would go, and then they sold like wildfire. So now we have a whole wall filled with them. And
Oh,
they're coming up to be like the second best selling thing that
yeah. Very cool. Yeah, my brother purchased it just when it came out over Steam, and I've played a little bit of it, and I've watched him play some of it, and the only criticism I seem to have on it so far is that everything appears to be yellow, just due to the lighting. Like, it looks
There,
like in the
yeah, I think
future,
that's just
incandescent lights
it's.
have returned, and they're everywhere. Like, they've invaded.
Yeah, no, I agree. There's a lot of the ambient yellow all around.
Because in like the first, it was just completely blue, and then Deus Ex
Blue,
2
right, yeah.
had natural lighting, and it actually looked, gritty and normal. But that was really about the only thing they got right with Deus Ex: Invisible War, because everything else was just terrible. But yeah, it was just that bad.
Yeah, I never played any Deus Ex ever.
Ah.
And my boss showed me a couple of theatrical trailers and theatrical trailers. What are they? Big trailers, long trailers, like 5 minute long trailers and gameplay trailers for Revolution. I was like, "Holy shit, this is awesome!" I want it. I just love how close the gameplay was to pre-rendered cutscenes. How close they are together. I just thought it was awesome. And just how he has a giant sword that comes out of his elbow and he stabs people with it. Oh my God, it's awesome.
A lot of, strangely enough, a lot of video game critics have actually been taking the opportunity to discuss some of the ethical questions that are brought up about, human augmentation in Deus Ex Human Revolution, such as just considering whether or not you would have, a mechanical limb replaced, a natural limb, given certain circumstances or whatever. And, yeah, so it's just kind of weird because they would, like, you'd see one article that's all about the gameplay and the mechanics thereof, the graphics and whatever, and then you'd get this entire essay following it on the just the ethical matters and moral conundrums of human augmentation. So yeah.
Pretty cool.
Oh, I have something to talk about. Did you know that, just quickly, I know we're kind of going over, but that the
Make a
Dead
comment.
Island, Australia has to redo their logo for it because it's not acceptable to Australian standards to have that zombie, or it's obviously not a zombie, but to have the person hanging
The
from the tree.
yeah.
Did you guys know that?
No, where did you hear that?
Two employees of EB have now told me that they have to take down all their, because they've obviously got all the pre-ordering signs and everything for it, and the Dead Island logo is going to be on it, or is on it rather, but they have to take it all down, send it all back because they're getting new ones because it's not acceptable to Australian standards that they have the person hanging by a noose from the tree as the eye in Ireland.
And is that like when you say that's not acceptable to Australian standards, do you mean that like that's actually part of the official regulations for, you know, classification and whatnot,
I have no
or
idea.
because people have complained? Oh, okay. You know, I'm not surprised because you know, if a kid walks into a store and whatnot, sees the Dead Island poster and sees there's a guy hanging from a noose for to represent the eye in Island. And I guess I could see their parents being concerned about it. On the other side, that kid's probably gonna go home and play Gears of War 2 and chainsaw a guy in half.
Yeah.
So, which is worse, honestly?
Yeah, I don't know. It just doesn't. I'm sure kids have seen people, movies and stuff, hanging them or being hung. This is like another thing I was talking about with the guy I work with. Just saying, like, games are getting such a bad. Like, the focus all on classifying of games and stuff, and I just feel like books and movies are worse.
Well,
But, like,
considering
a
that books don't
majority of
have
people.
any classifications, I mean, the only time a book has been censored from, you know, being released to a certain, to people under a certain age was, like, the last time I can recall was American Psycho, and even then, if a 12-year-old walks into Dimmicks and sees there's a copy of it available, he can just go pick it up now, because we're just kind of like, oh, okay, yeah, we're over that.
I can see a 12-year-old going into Dimmick's and buying American Psycho.
Well,
That
you know, if he's
book.
maybe if he's eccentric, you know, really into
Yeah, I just see, like,
literature.
maybe he's like an upper class 12-year-old, and he's like, yeah, I like to read things, heard good things about American Psycho. I'm just gonna go in and buy it. Yep. And then he becomes a serial killer because that book is fucked up.
Anyway, I think that's about yeah, that's I think that's a good time for us to move on to our adults. And he's just going to quickly talk to us, well, specifically with Katie, who is our correspondent for this week's episode, and decided
Field
to talk to him
correspondent
about
Trisha Canal.
2300. Yes. Okay, I'm going to redo that. Okay, I think this is a good time to just sort of call it quits to that little video games and movie segment of our podcast and move on to the interview that was recorded with Katie, who was this week's correspondent with Glenn Radburn, aka Rattles. And those two are just going to talk about the webcomic Rattles works on called 2300.
Hey guys, and welcome to our very first Ozcast interview. Today, I have Glenn Radburn here, aka Rattles, on the Rooster Teeth site. How are you, Rattles? Do you prefer Glenn or Rattles?
You can call. I'm doing pretty good, and you can call me whatever you want. Just don't call me Dave. Don't ever call me Dave.
Noted. Okay, well, Rattles is the creator of the popular webcomic 2300. His comic is officially ranked 320th out of 18,000 webcomics floating around the interwebs. Wow, congratulations, Rattles.
Thank you. Thank you
You're
for having me.
welcome. So, I'll start by telling everyone a little bit about your series. 2300 is a webcomic set in the year 2300. The story mainly follows three characters: Clayton Matthews, his wife, Aubrey Carmichael, and the alien, James. The last storyline left Aubrey as a widow thanks to some alien intervention. Now James is preparing to return to the home he hasn't seen in 1200 years. Aubrey must find her own place in the world that she lives in, somewhere her family feels safe. Something that's not easy when even the darkness wants a piece of you. Wow, okay. I really want to know more about this, so I've got some questions lined up for you about 2300 and maybe a few random ones chucked in there too.
Okay. Fire at
Sound
will.
good? Fire at will. Oh, I will do. All right, so 2300 is up to its 106th comic. Can you tell me, what's the inspiration behind 2300?
Oh, that's a loaded question because 2300's storyline has changed so much since I actually envisaged it. However, the first storyline was about a group of supers that were downtrodden and forced to compete in these Power Sticks tournaments. For the entertainment of the upper class human people. And so, that idea came around when I was about 16, 15, I can't remember which, but I saw Spy Kids 3D
Oh,
and
yeah.
I also saw X-Men, and for some reason my brain put them together and developed the original, and since then there's been various things such as my name, the name of the comic getting taken, and storylines sounding too similar or hard to draw. So eventually it became what it is now at 2300.
Wow. Well, you have some pretty cool characters in 2300. Can you tell me a little bit about your inspiration behind them?
I think I can do that. Many of the characters when I started writing were perfect when they were developed by people my age, and that's something that really ticked me off. On this site that I used to do a lot of role playing on, there was a slew of characters by certain people that just had no defects whatsoever, and that really ticked me off. So eventually I decided that I wanted to create a series where the characters weren't perfect, where they had defects, where they had serious character defects. And that's what inspired me to make my main character blind. My second
Wow.
main character, very short, and the third main character is an alien, a super powerful alien. However, he, as you heard in that synopsis, he hasn't been home in 1200 years, so he's got some pretty big demons that he's going back to at home.
Right, I bet, I bet. What's your favorite thing about making the comic?
Probably taking something that exists on a piece of paper and then turning it into a digital artwork. That's probably my favorite bit because when I draw on paper, it looks like absolutely nothing to anyone but me. But when I get it into the computer and refine it, and people have watched me do this, you can actually find it and find a video of me doing this at youtube.com/AussieMonkeyStudios. That's what makes it really like fun for me, changing what no one else can see into, or understand into something that everyone can understand.
Wow, I bet. Yeah, I can imagine that would be really inspiring. Absolutely. How long have you been creating 2300 for?
I've been working on 2300 for 3 years now, but the website and the webcomic launched officially on the 1st of January 2009, so 2.5 years ago.
Wow, so that's a pretty solid amount of time. How do you work out the storyline? Is it something that you've planned out, or does it evolve comic by comic?
It's a bit of both, actually. When I'm writing, there is a lot of storylines going through my head, and so I just write down whatever I can with on whatever I can. I've got like hundreds of pieces of paper scattered around my room. I've got notes on my phone or and on my iPod, and eventually, when I've got a good enough conclusion, I'll sit down and try to figure out how it will all go together. But it does evolve comic. Having said that, it does evolve comic by comic because I can't predict where the dialogue's going to take me. So there might be a whole bunch of pages set in this one scene, and then it in this one tiny bit of the storyline, and then it skips like five other points because they're not necessary anymore. So it's, yeah, bit of both.
Wow, that's awesome. I myself, I'm not an incredibly consistent person, and I have no artistic talents whatsoever. But for people who do, what advice can you give them in regards to doing the same thing or a similar project to 2300?
Make your characters simple. If you're going to write a story that will take a long time to finish, you don't want to be drawing the equivalent of one of the species in my comic, the Trigon. They've got a whole bunch of rings and lines in their hair because that's part of their culture, and it's pretty much impossible to get that consistent. But simplicity is best when it comes to comics, and also you've got hundreds of bad storylines in your head. Write them down so you get them out, and then look through them, find a piece of gold.
Wow, wise words. No, that's very, very cool, and I hope people really incorporate that into their future projects.
Due to a scheduling error, in the interview between Katie and Glenn, there was a complete lack of any questions pertaining to stuntmen. That is to say, Katie just outright forgot to ask any questions pertaining to the matter. So, that in mind, I decided to sit down with Arvin, aka Arvin Mendoza, to ask him about stuntmen in general, as he is one of the, well, he is the other man involved in the creating process for stuntmen. Okay, Arvin, thank you for sitting down with us here at Ozcast. I just wanted to quickly ask you a few questions about stuntmen, if that's okay.
Yep, sure, go ahead.
Okay, so first question is, how did you come up with the idea of stuntmen? I mean, everybody saw the photo that you guys posted with you, Katie, and Glenn, and everybody was wondering what this was, but not even you guys knew at that point. I mean, what happened there? What developed?
Since that photo, what we tried to achieve is a challenge series. So people would send in challenges through Facebook and Twitter and a forum on the site, and what they wanted the volunteers to see, to do as a challenge. But from then we said we couldn't do that. We can't give the public that much freedom and take away, choice on our end.
So you needed to sort of maintain creative control on your end as well.
Yes, exactly. So what we decided to do is set the challenges ourselves, and the public would vote on which ones would get released.
Okay, interesting. So, and why did you specifically partner up with Glenn for this production?
Glenn, he is really a whiz with videos and animation and that kind of stuff, and it was really a no-brainer to have him as part of the team.
And like being a well, I'm not sure as to what it is Glenn's studies specifically, but having to do with film and animation, was it what is did it also help to have him with you due to like easy access to some of the equipment that you guys needed to record and for the episodes?
Yeah, he was a really big part of production and production design as a whole, since a lot of the props and stuff like that were he already had.
Okay, interesting. And where do you see stuntmen going from here exactly?
We actually talked about this a while ago, and we have decided to release a video every 2 weeks. That gives us a bit of time and breathing room for our own stuff, and still keep everyone interested. So every 2 weeks up until RTOs.
Okay, and after that?
I guess we would make we were deciding on whether to make more on the weekend on RTO's weekend, and then edit them and then release them afterwards.
Interesting move. And is this something that you would also hope finds an audience outside of Rooster Teeth as you keep going?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's I heard someone say it's a poor man's immersion, which I guess is it's a praise.
Yeah,
I
it's a
take it as a
nice
compliment.
compliment. Yeah. Yeah, okay. Well, and when can we expect the next episode? I know that as of this discussion here, we've at 9:54 p.m. on the 16th of August that you've just posted an episode. But when can we expect the next one, if you don't mind me asking, and if it's not too soon?
We will be sticking to the 2 week time frame from now on. So in 2 weeks' time, you should be seeing a new episode.
Okay, perfect. Well, thank you for sitting down with me to answer a few questions about this. It's been a
Thanks
pleasure.
for having me.
Oh,
Thanks for
not a
having me.
problem. And following that interview, we decided that we wanted to have a little chat with Glenn, so please welcome on now, Rattles.
Clap, 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 clap,
Up,
clap, clap,
yo.
clap. Woo,
Glenn. Glenn.
Yeah, so if you don't mind, we just had a few more questions to ask you about the interview that you did with Katie.
I wasn't there.
Okay. It's true, she wasn't.
Yeah, first off, I would just like to ask you in regards to, some of the questions that were asked after the interview. You mentioned, no, sorry, that was, sorry. Some of the questions that were asked to you contained, how you came up with the characters for 2300, and you mentioned that you were originally in part on a some took part in some role playing websites, and I was wondering, aside from coming up causing tags like a catalyst to come up with these sort of imperfect characters, how else did that impact your current work?
Well, on those role-playing sites, it's kind of a community collaboration sort of thing. Everyone contributes something to the story. You're constantly getting feedback on how you're going, whether your character's too powerful or not. So really, it just helped me to understand, okay, my character shouldn't do this in this situation, and it just made me a better writer.
And do you miss that feedback now that you're just working on your comic and you've only got, an audience that doesn't really get to communicate with you all that much about what's going on?
Not really. I miss the community aspect of the role-playing site, but their input into my creative process will always be valued, but as I grew as a writer and stuff, I understand what makes a good story, what to put in, what to leave out. And it's not like I'm not getting feedback anymore. I get people all the time talking, commenting like, "Huh? I don't get it," and stuff like that. And I know that I've jumped the shark a bit, so
You
yeah.
brain
That's
into
the
them.
feedback that you want, is people going, "Huh? What's going on? I don't understand this at all. I don't." And
Yeah, pretty much, actually.
then you get real-time feedback from me and Tim asking you, doing, during.
Yeah. Yeah.
Fair enough. And Katie, Sean, do you guys want to ask your question? Any questions at this point? Just sort of get a.
I was waiting for an airplane. I had a question about the editing process. How long it takes you for stuntman this is. How long it takes.
Okay, well, every stuntman episode is different, so there's different effects and different and different speeds and stuff that I've got to work at. Sean's is probably the quickest.
Woo. That's what
And
she said, just quietly.
that's a shame.
Hey, I'll do it again. I can come back and do it again.
And this next one that I'm working on has probably taken the longest, but it's just because I've got to decide what to chop out, what to leave in, what's a hilarious line that I can leave into the show, but that line will also make the show like 10 seconds too long or something like that. So, my creative process is I've just got to decide what's unnecessary in an episode, and the time that it takes me to decide that, the editing's done pretty much straight away after that. So
So
it varies.
I hear that there's one coming up that has taken a lot of it's taken its toll on your creative process.
Yeah, it's a hard one.
That's what she said.
Don't want to share any more on that specific episode you're working on?
I'll share one thing with you. It's called dairy-free breakfast.
And
I hear that was a tough one.
especially for the test subject. It did not seem to like it at all.
It. I resent that.
And
I was trying to stay vague.
moving along, how involved are you in the creating process for Stuntman? I know you're really in charge of the editing side of it and equipment, but when it comes to you and Arvin teaming up for the each individual episode, and you have to come up with ideas, how involved are you in that segment?
Well, Arvin and I talked a lot about it, deciding what the challenges should be, and quite often it will just occur to both of us at the same time that yes, we should shoot Nerf guns at Strutter and find out how many he can dodge at the same time. Like, that was a completely mutual thought because we were thinking of getting him to juggle a bunch of stuff, and like how good we were trying to figure out how good's his hand-eye coordination and all of that sort of stuff, and then we just decided to test his reflexes. So, Arvin and I are on equal terms when it comes to the creation of the stunts and stuff.
Okay.
Like the
They're
ideas.
also the cameraman and the sound guy and the lighting guru and
The
the crew and
crew. Because we do absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
It's true.
he's this what are they called, the set builders? They're that too, the
Prop
producers,
design.
everything. That's it, prop design, everything.
D-grip.
That's them.
And with Stuntmen, Rattles, if you had to describe it on the spot, how would you do so? Like, what would you say to explain Stuntmen to a potentially new audience member?
Painful to watch for the first time, but then it gets funny.
That's
Fair
perfect.
enough. Yeah. And
I'd make this
Sean, I
laugh.
believe you had a question to ask Rattles about Stuntmen.
Yes, Glenn, when will be my next stuntman adventure?
I don't know.
It's because you like the parts with him in it.
Yeah,
Yeah,
I
that's
like the
true.
parts with me in it, so that's why I'm asking specifically for me.
I'm looking at some point in the next 6 or so videos.
Oh, man.
At least one of them's got to have you in it.
Woo! No, I'll be happy.
And on the subject of you guys creating more videos for Stuntmen, Arvin mentioned that you guys had been thinking about doing an episode while you guys are down at RTOZ. Is there anything like have you been talking about that with them any further?
I'm not
Not sure if I'm allowed to
sure.
talk about this.
I'm not sure if I'm not. I'm not sure if I'm allowed to talk about this. But there is a high likelihood. We haven't discussed any challenges or anything like that. But You can rest assured that if it does happen at RTOs, it's going to be big.
I like the sound of that. And going back to 2300, I just have one question because I've read a few of your comics for, well, the comic, mainly through like what you've uploaded this year. And I was just wondering, do you think it's easy for new readers to latch on to what's going on in the story?
No. That being said, there is a site redesign coming, and one of the pages is first time here, so it's going to become a lot more accessible because, and also there's a new story arc arriving in a couple of in like 15 pages time, so that should help with garnering new readership. That being said, it's always a good idea when you start reading web comics or web p picture books, as Katie would call them, you should definitely go back through the entire archive and read them all. And
Fair
there's
enough
only
call.
106 pages of mine, so
I was just gonna ask, how many exactly are there?
106.
Yeah,
Yeah.
so Sean, Katie, you're all done for questions?
I
I'm good,
am.
yeah.
Thanks, Rattles. I asked all my questions in that interview.
Fair enough.
True.
Especially the one about a
Okay.
donkey.
Yes.
And okay, so I guess here we'll just say thanks for coming on the show, and then I have to do a separate recording to introduce Arvin's like little, his talking points.
Yep.
Awesome. So
You can
are you
just do
gonna
that
record
whenever.
the are you gonna record the conclusion, or are you just gonna do that separately?
I'm gonna record the conclusion now and do the sort of introduction for the talking points separately.
Okay.
Okay.
And then I'll do the
Okay.
dog thing.
All right, so Glenn, thank you for coming on to Ozcast. I hope we get to see you around sometime soon, either on the podcast, introducing something else of yours, or just on the community website in general, or just you're on TeamSpeak, which is where we record our Ozcast podcast.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. And quickly over to Katie for a disclaimer right before we go.
No gray ducks are harmed in the making of this podcast.